It is Dan Daugherty, who scored plenty of penalties in the past, but not as significant as this.
Hi, everybody. Welcome along to another edition of the Corian FC podcast. I'm your host, Damien Mullen, here as ever. And I'm joined tonight by two regular contributors, as Johnny McNabb and Aaron O'Neill. I'm glad to say, or I'm delighted to say, I should say, that we're joined this evening by a very special guest, and none other than Kenny Shields. We're all familiar with Kenny from his time at Corian, but Kenny is in the news this week. 24 hours ago, I would say, Kenny was just about to lead the Northern Ireland senior women's team into a vital playoff game against the Ukraine at Seaview. And I'm delighted to say that Kenny and the girls completed the job and have now qualified for the country's first ever championships. So first of all, Kenny, delighted to have you. I was just going to say, I'm sure the last 24 hours has been a bit of a blur for you with media interviews and one thing and another. How's it been for you?
Yeah, it's been, I'm pleased that the people are, is helping to promote the women's game. And, you know, I complain about interviews, but deep down, I know it's better that we keep promoting it, and it can only get better from that. But it's been a great journey for me, at my age especially. But it's been really, really good, and everybody's been so supportive.
It's been amazing, Kenny, really, when you think the journey. Everybody always talks about journeys, etc. But the journey that you and the group of players has been on has been extraordinary. And I think yesterday in your post-match interview, you described it as the best ever sporting achievement in Northern Ireland. So from your point of view, you don't say that lightly. I'm sure you've had success at clubs in Northern Ireland, the Republic of Scotland. So how does it compare to your previous successes, Kenny?
If you look at the overwhelming difference in between what we have and how our team is made up and what it's made up of and the opposition. Like, Wales was in our group and Norway was in our group, and these girls play for, most of them are at the Irish League, and you've got six teams in the Irish League and four of them are from Belfast. You've got Crusaders, Linfield, Glentoran and Cliftonville. And that's where the bulk of the players are made up from. And they play the wee summer league, NIFL League it's called. And then they're going to compete against players from Barcelona, from Manchester City, from Arsenal, from Chelsea. And, you know, the Welsh players are all from the Super League. And we have one in the Super League, and we have another one in the Super League who is Simone McGill, but she hasn't been getting regular, you know, appearances, so she's lost her match fitness. On top of that, we have had no matches since the end of November, beginning of December, the 1st of December, when we qualified for the playoffs. When I say we had no matches, we had one friendly, I beg your pardon, against England. And that's all we've had. The teams we've been playing are playing week in, week out. The Ukraine players are all professional. Every team we played against, except for the Faroe Islands, were full-time professionals. And ours are working in B&Q, working in university as secretary. There's one that works in Lidl, and that they're going. Because they're amateurs, when we get to the end of this bubble, which was last night, we, myself included, have to self-isolate for another 7 days. If we had been professionals, we could have went to our work at Everton, which Simone has done. She's went today to Everton. But everybody, our whole team nearly, is doing nothing. They have to sit in the house now, and then they go back to their work next Tuesday.
That, you know, when you put it like that, Kenny, it really, I suppose, underlines just the magnitude of the victory. Yeah. Aaron, unfortunately, we didn't get to see the game last night. We were otherwise committed. You were filming Corrine Glentoran, but I'm sure you've caught up with some of the scenes and the goals, etc. I mean, when Kenny talks like that, it really puts into context how big an achievement it is for the ladies, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's it, Damien. And I suppose until Kenny touched on that point, it's one thing that a lot of us probably wouldn't take into consideration. You know, and obviously from our point of view, to contextualise the whole thing in comparison to what we have at Coleraine, and I'm sure what Kenny is all too aware of is, you know, there's builders in our squad. You know, I think worked in the creamery for a time. So
that's right. You know,
I suppose the men's game is a bit like that as well, but it's great to see the whole NIFL product, you know, the men's game and the women's game moving in the right direction. And with, you know, the senior men's team getting to the Euros a couple of years ago, I know it's in transition now, and then obviously the senior women getting to the finals next summer, the only way is up, I suppose.
The massive difference was the Coleraine, the players who played for Coleraine weren't playing for Northern Ireland in the Euros.
And
Glentoran. And the other thing, which was a massive disadvantage, we lost four players to ACL injuries. You've heard of ACL injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So that's them out for 10 months. So we had four players in that category. With Megan Bell had to have an operation, which put her out for almost a year. There's five. And then we had, our best player, Rachel Furness, went out. She got hurt in the first leg of the match. And she wasn't able to play last night, and we really missed her. And I have to say, if you put that on top of the where our players are from, I think it raises the bar immensely to what the girls have achieved.
It is. And I suppose from a to be parochial about the thing as well, Johnny, you know, you've got Kenny managing the team. You've got the son, Dean, helping out. You've got Lauren in there, Lauren Wade in there, Chloe McCarron, two Korean girls. And, you know, it's a triumph for Northern Ireland. But I suppose from a Korean point of view, you know, we can take a certain degree of extra pride out of it, given the local connections. And Johnny, that's something that you must be very proud of.
Of course, you have to be proud of all of them. It's a fantastic achievement. We actually spoke to Dean down at Dungannon that day when we were playing Corrie, and I think it was just after the draw had been made, maybe the day before. He'd
just got the job then, hadn't he?
He had just got the Dungannon job, and we said to him, "What do you think?" And he goes, "Yeah, it's going to be a tough draw out there." But listen, after the first leg, I watched a wee bit of it, got a good result and brought it back home. And I know Arm was filming the match, but there were people in front of us. They were watching the match on the iPad, the Northern Ireland match, as well as watching the Glentoran match. So it's a fantastic achievement. It's great for Lauren and Chloe and Dean and Kenny, and it's something I'm extremely proud of.
Kenny, what was it like to have Dean alongside you? I mean, you've had some very, very proud moments in your career, but, you know, having your son alongside you to have a great achievement like that must take it to another level, I would have thought.
Yeah, Dean is a fantastic coach, believe me. And he knows so much about the game, and he helps the girls, but he will do a good job at Dungannon. I have no doubt. His inheritance hasn't helped. And, you know, things are not, you know, the chairman's a good man, but there's probably lack of knowledge in and around the club. And the young, he's got, like, there's four teenagers in the league last Saturday's matches. There were four teenagers in the other 11 clubs, four teenagers that were on the pitch, and Dungannon had five on the pitch. and two 20-year-olds. So he's working with young players who are too young for the Irish league in abundance like that. If you've got maybe two, then that's enough. But having been there myself, I always wanted to give young players a chance. But they're too young. Dungannon players are young because there's too many of them.
It's going to be hard for him, I suppose. Did he come to you to ask you about taking on the job? And did you try to discourage him? You know, management's a tough game, Kenny.
It's a tough gig because you're judged by the results. But he has them playing better. So he's got the first hurdle. He has them playing in a way in which they're going to get better. There's no doubt about that. And there's learning structures within that. But as a manager, as you know, you need results sort of like on the go. You need to get results immediately. So it's very, very difficult for him, to be honest.
Can I just take you back to the NFL Premiership in terms of the women's? You mentioned there was only six ladies teams involved. Moving forward, would you like to see that maybe expand to 10, expand to 12? Obviously, the more players playing at a better standard, or what's your...
It's very true. They have to increase it, but they haven't got the depth of players just yet. Lisburn have got some really good young players, and I think a lot of clubs will have to go that way to catch up, and there's not enough players playing in the league, but it's down to player pool. The player pool is judged by the participation, and more players who are participating, then the game will grow at a quicker state. And I've brought in to my international squad, we have brought in 10 under 19 players that we've cherry picked around the country to have them with me on our watch, because not that we're better than anybody else, but the players that we have would need to be better. So the young players that's coming in are training with them and getting better because of that. So it accelerates their development.
Well, it can be difficult. And I suppose the good players from the likes of a Korean maybe have to go to another club. Like Lauren has been around and played in different countries and different clubs. I think Chloe, she's at Birmingham City over in England. You know, so any good players at the moment, because there's not as many clubs as you'd like in the top league here, they have to go elsewhere, and that's not probably good for a town or a club like Korean, is it, Kenny, in that respect?
No, it's not. But I think if someone would take it in hand and work with the girls in Korean and put more professional type work in with the girls, I'm sure they would improve. I would be very, very confident. I think there is emerging clubs there, because if you look at the way the women's game has gone and is in the process of going in England, the big clubs like Manchester City and Manchester United and Arsenal and Chelsea, they're also the big clubs in the men's, but they're also the big clubs in the women's. So I think the Irish League will go that way also, because you've got the four Belfast clubs and that's it, basically. And Sion Swifts has had a go at it, and Derry City are just, they're not up to scratch, to be honest. But Coleraine have to get to that position of bringing in players with something attractive to bring, make them come in, you know. And it's usually money that's the most attractive thing, but I don't think the Irish League clubs are in a position to invest in the women's game just yet.
Always comes down to money, Kenny, unfortunately, doesn't it, in football and in sport. But Aaron, I mean, I was just looking there, you know, Northern Ireland's the lowest ranked team going into next year's championships. I think Europe's top 13 teams, plus Russia and Finland, 15 and 16, and then Northern Ireland. But I think Northern Ireland have a good tradition and in history in any sport of reveling in the underdogs tag. And I mean, do you see something like that could be to their advantage when they go to England next summer.
Yep, you totally hit the nail on the head there, Damien. You know, they're the nation that sort of flies below the radar and everything. And I suppose that underdog tag or category that they'll be put into is one that will probably shoot, because it means you can sort of, you know, it's not a free one essentially, but it makes it easier for you. You know, there's no pressure on you. You just go there and have a go, enjoy the occasion. And I'm sure Kenny and Dean and the rest of the backroom staff will have the girls well up for it. You know, we talked briefly before this, and I know that this will maybe throw a bit of a spanner in the works, but motorcycling's a passion of mine. You know, we look at what Jonathan Rea achieved in his sport. He went all the way to the top, and he sets the benchmark. So, and golf, you know, Rory McIlroy, Greg McNoll, boys like that, we've always overachieved for the small nation that we are. So hopefully Kenny and the Northern Ireland ladies can do the same next summer.
Johnny, I was just thinking there when Aaron was chatting, you were actually at the Euros for the men's Euros a couple of years ago in France. Like, half the country was there, and half of Korea, from what I could see from the social media pictures, was there. But having experienced that, I mean, can you see something similar happening next year in England? And how important is it, the fact that it's just across the water, in terms of people getting across to support Kenny and the girls in England next summer?
Yeah, I was at the Euros in 2016, and what an experience that was. Probably didn't ever expect it to be people watch my country at the Euros. But Kenny, I know this more than anyone. Northern Ireland get behind their own, and it's only across to England, and here's hoping they get a nice draw. And you know, people will be thinking they're a lowest ranked team and they're only there for the numbers, but listen, the teams that they beat, they get to this stage, they'll be up for it. I think I read one match or two matches of the Euros might be at Windsor. I maybe read that wrong. Could be wrong in that. But listen, it'd be fantastic to see them, and here's hoping that they can compete, you know.
Hi, Kenny. Go ahead, Kenny.
Sorry. Kenny. Aye, all the matches are in England.
All in England.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, Kenny, in terms of the supporters, because obviously COVID, all the rest of it, we're all in this lockdown still. The only downside of last night was that there was no spectators, there was no family, no friends there to help celebrate with the girls.
Yes.
Given that, and what I've just said, because the finals are in England, you could anticipate a large number of family, friends and supporters going across to support the girls. How big a boost would that be, and how enjoyable would it be for the girls to play in a European Championships in front of their family and friends?
It'll be fantastic, because allied to that, it's the month of July, so there's more likelihood of people being available off work because of the 12th fortnight to go to watch Northern Ireland, and they might use it as a holiday as well. So yes, I think there'll be a big crowds at the matches in the month of July because of the novelty, you know, of the women's game is still at novelty status.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are looking to broaden their, you know, their downtime and their hobbies of watching football. And I feel that we will get well supported. But it's going to be a really big obstacle for us, because in the women's game, you know, a beating in the men's game is 2-0, 3-0, 4-1. You know, that's a good thumping in the men's game.
Mm-hmm.
But the disparity in between ourselves and France, Germany, Sweden, Norway. Like, Norway beat us twice, 6-0. And that wouldn't happen in the men's game, mm-hmm. if you're. So it's going to be quite tough for us. But as you say, as you rightly said,
mm-hmm.
the Northern Ireland support is overwhelming in comparison to Denmark or some of them countries. There's five Nordic countries that have got through, all five Nordic countries, and they're, as you know, about the genetical thing with. Mm-hmm. The Scandinavians and all those Nordics, they're 6 foot.
They're powerful, aren't they? Yeah.
And they're strong, mm-hmm. and they're quick.
Yeah.
And in the women's game, that's quite effective, the strength of players. So we know it's going to be, I don't want to be negative, but I'm just saying it's...
Being realistic.
There is a realistic part that you have to take.
Does that mean that you have a lot of work to do between now and then? Is that what you're saying, Kenny?
Yeah, we'll have players coming back.
Yeah.
Those 8 players are all starters. And they could come back and get injured. But, I mean, you know, it's so far away. So they'll get over their injuries in the autumn, around October, November. And they'll have a full winter program with us to get ready, you know, to take part in the following summer. I think it'll be, it's good. The timing's quite good. So we'll be much stronger.
You'll be. You'll have much resource. And you may get one or two new players coming onto the scene too, you know, between now and next summer. And
we'll have Demi Vance and Lauren Wade and Megan Bell, Cara Hamilton, Rachel Furness, who didn't play last night. We'll have... we counted 8 the other day there. Rachel Newbury, and you know, we'll have all them players back. Abby McGee is the other one. They'll be back playing next summer.
Bloody. Yeah. I'm just thinking, Johnny and Aaron, that could be a wee gig for us next summer, couldn't it? I think the club's budget could be stretched as far as going across for the Euro Championships. Johnny, what do you think? Can you have a word?
Simon McGee can pay for the travel and Kenny can give us nice VIP tickets. Kenny, what's the biggest difference you've seen from managing the club level to the international level? What's the, probably time and over the players and stirs on the pitch and stuff, but what's the main differences?
Between club and international, did you ask
me?
Well, the inconvenience of not having the players is certainly very challenging. And if you look at the weekly role of a manager at club level, I think it's hands-on. You know, it's quite consistent. I've actually had good experiences at international level in both the 17s and the ladies now, and I've enjoyed it. The spaces, the more spaces between games. And I think you can prepare more tactically for international football than you can with club football, because you get injury, suspension, or whatever. You're chopping and changing. Familiarity breeds contempt, that sort of situation. I think I might be better at managing, maybe at my age especially, in the international capacity.
Probably suits better, Kenny, because you've got that bit more time, and it's not probably the day-to-day stresses of managing
right.
the team. Well, I was going to say, without getting obviously too political about it, but Aaron, I was just sitting at my emails today, and we had emails coming from the First Minister and the Deputy First Minister and the Communities Minister, all praising Kenny and the girls, and I guess it just underlines how important sport is, and particularly at this time, you know, the last week or 2 weeks, there have been, I suppose, problems in the province. And Aaron, sport comes along and it helps lift the spirits for everybody, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does exactly that, Damien. You know, you just have to look at this week, aside from the achievements of the Northern Ireland ladies, you know, even at Corian there, I seen the other night, the academy were back training, and sport has given people a real lift, you know, throughout the pandemic. You even think about the amount of people, you know, that everyone knows that have taken up sports that they probably would never have done before, you know, as in out cycling or walking or just whatever.
You're talking about yourself there?
Well, maybe, but, you know, there's hundreds of others, but it's one of them things where it gives you a bit of an uplifting experience, you know, and I suppose what the ladies achieved last night could just snowball now, and they'll be, you know, hoping to use that joy and the experiences that they felt last night to spur them on next summer.
And of course, Rachel Blackmore winning the Grand National, the first female jockey ever to win the Grand National. So I think it's ladies to the fore at the minute, Johnny, isn't it?
Of course. Just a pity I didn't have £100 on that horse.
Even if you had a pound.
Aaron made a great point about the thing snowballing. I actually watched the UTV Live news there, and the cameras were out interviewing Uyghurs maybe 14, 15 kicking football, and they were like, oh yes, I've seen there and I've seen that and this, and they've done that. And you know, that's what Kenny will want. He'll want those 16, 17-year-olds now progress and they want to play for their country.
Yeah, definitely.
That's one of the things that the girls have always stressed, isn't it, Kenny, that, you know, their heroes growing up were the likes of the David Beckhams of this world. Now, you know, the young girls coming can look up to them as their model, role models and heroes, if you like.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. When we played England there with in February, that one game we had. After that match, our girls was going to England players and asking for autographs and asking to change shirts. It's outrageous, do you know what I mean? But I feel that, you know, the game, as you rightly said, the game will improve with a bigger player pool in Northern Ireland. But also, I feel that I look at what... I'm really proud of football in the context of... and I keep saying this to the media because I want to promote football as much as I can. What football has done for Northern Ireland in the Troubles... Like, I'll give you a couple of examples which you guys know about. Paddy McAllister from Stewartstown Road, West Belfast, and Michael Surgeon from The Village. Two contrasting religions and became best friends and are still best friends and played for me at Coleraine. And it wasn't by design, it was just by accident, but it made me think, this is brilliant. I love this because we're providing something as a football club at Coleraine for, it doesn't matter where you're from or who you are or what you are.
Mm-hmm.
And now again, it's happened again for me because we have a wee girl, Kerry Beatty from the Shankill, and with Tony Lee from the Falls, and they're playing and the same team, and they're really good friends. It's fantastic what football has done for getting through Troubles, more than any politician could do. And,
that's
and
it.
I feel great warmth with that. How we are, you know, as people, and it just puts it into perspective.
That's what sport does for us, doesn't it? Look at Carl Frampton, just retired recently. Carl Frampton, again, was a prime example of that. He was able to harness support from all areas and enjoyed widespread support. So, but right, well, here, you talked about Coleraine, your time at Coleraine, obviously, Paddy and Michael Surgeon. I suppose, you know, this is a Coleraine podcast, but we make a good exception tonight because we have to give the girls their dues, and it's such a significant achievement. But we'll turn and now look a wee bit to, I suppose, the fortunes of Coleraine and the Danske Bank Premiership, Kenny. And I suppose we'd need to start by talking about your son-in-law, Oran. He's doing a remarkable job, Kenny, isn't he?
Absolutely. But what people don't see, this league's not over yet. Because Linfield are dodgy away from home, I'm telling you. They are dodgy. And how many games is left?
Seven or eight, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I would always be confident. I don't know how many away games they've left. Let's say they've got four. Well, I would think they can drop maybe 6 points in their away games.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they do. They're good at Windsor right enough. But mm-hmm. is there 9 points in it at the moment?
Johnny, you know,
nine.
Yeah. I'm the forever optimist. I would say, well, that would put Coleraine back in the frame.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's according to when, like if Linfield's going to lose their next match, for example, I don't know who it's against.
They are at home to Ballymena on Saturday, Kenny.
They could lose that.
Yeah, Ballymena's one of them sides. You just don't know what's going to happen.
The Coleraine supporters will be wanting Ballymena to be beaten that game. They'll also want Linfield to get beat.
Well, I think on this occasion, I think they would rather see Linfield beat. I think they'll be cheering for Ballymena come Saturday.
There's still another momentum left in the league.
Good. We like your optimism.
Yeah. I wouldn't rule it out. But it's highly unlikely. But
you know, a betting man would probably favour Linfield. But as you say, there's a lot to go yet. Aaron, what do you think? You film all the games. You not only film them and you edit them then the next day. So you probably have a keener, close eye on Corian's performances than nearly anybody. Do you agree with Kenny that the league's not over just yet?
We talked about this last week, and I suppose, you know, the point that was made last week was, you know, the league was Linfield's to lose, and I suppose that is probably still the case. But last night's game against Glentoran, you know, but for a freak own goal that you would never probably, you'll never see scored again. You would never see something like that again. But, you know, it's things like that that, you know, have to spur you on. Obviously, up until that point, we were leading the game 2-1 against a Glentoran side that are full of cash investment and excellent players. But it's that dogged approach that Corian have, that, you know, they've been around the block now, they're experienced, and they're not an easy team to beat. And going to the Oval last night, yes, Glentoran started the game well, but I think Corian more than held their own and were done out of 2 points, in my opinion. You know, Oran can use that going into the game this Friday. You know, you have a quick turnaround and you go again on Friday night and look for the win.
This is where the split favours the team that's not at the top. The team that's chasing, which is Corian and Glentoran, they're chasing Linfield, but because of the split, there's five tough games.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the pressure's more on the team at the top, because if you start to slip, they'll all have the same opponents very shortly. Is it 33 and then the 5?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And they've played, what, 31?
31, yeah.
30, 31. Some have played 30, some have 31, yeah.
And who have Linfield got in the last two?
Ballymena at home and Glenavon away.
Yeah, they're, well, I wouldn't say they're easy games, but it could have been. And if they...
Ballymena and Glenavon are both funny teams. You don't know, any given day what they're going to be like. They could be very good or very poor. It's either or sometimes with them. But I wouldn't disagree with what Aaron said, Johnny, that Corian, up until Josh's unfortunate own goal, I mean, Corian were in total command of that game. Glentoran started the game like a house on fire, and Corian managed to dig in and keep the score down at that stage. But as the second half wore on and Corian went ahead, Glentoran offered very little, or I should say Corian didn't allow them to create anything, and they could probably feel hard done by and end up, Johnny, couldn't they?
That was a perfect summary there. I've absolutely nothing to add. The first 20, 25 minutes, we were sitting there watching our hands over everybody score. But listen, Glentoran made a fantastic start. Their movement in the first 20, 25 minutes was unbelievable. It was the best I've seen their league this year against us in terms of movement. We only limited them to one goal. And guys, they ended the first half very strongly and got a good goal through Matthew. And the second half, scored another great goal with Matthew, a lovely ball over the top by Josh. And I don't think Martin Gallagher had a save to make in the whole second half. And yes, it's just one of them, as Aaron said, you will never see that goal again in your life. It was in for a tackle and obviously hooks the ball over Murray and into the net. But Friday night's a massive game for us. I've said it before, Linfield, in my opinion, with one hand in the trophy. But as Kenny says, football is a weird game. And Glenavon and Ballymena.
Yeah, they have, but I still think, I'm looking here, I'm cheating, I'm looking at the table.
Good man.
Corian and... Wow. The goal difference is 25. Linfield 25 goals better.
Yeah.
They both conceded 30. Yeah. But if Canning's available every week, and I know the politics of all that, if he's available every week, Corian have the best defence in the league.
Yeah.
We've said that before. Yeah.
I think
their back four is the best. And if they, it's nearly always the team that concedes the least goals wins the league.
Mm-hmm.
and I need to look at the fixtures. Corian's at home to Glentoran.
Home to Glentoran, yeah.
On Friday.
And then the sequence at which they play. No, away to Carrick it is. No?
No, away to Balmain, I think. Away
to Balmain.
You're right. You're right.
Mm-hmm. So,
I think that's a good match. I think that's a good match.
It's funny, I suppose, Kelly. When you're looking at it there, and we're talking about the league and the title, does it bring back memories of your time in charge at Corian? Because
yes,
you had great times. You won the first division, and you came so close to winning the Gibson Cup that year, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. We won the championship in February. I think it was the first team ever to win a league in February, in the winter program, first week in February. But we took that same team nearly into the Premier League, and we just didn't have enough experience. Packy got suspended. We were 5 points clear of Crusaders with 5 games to go. But how people avail of their finance, I think it's morally wrong, but they did it, fair play to them. Crusaders had the 5 best players in Dublin. Tony, do you know who I mean?
I remember they had
Tony, the businessman. But anyway, the 5 best players in Dublin. Dublin's great. They had a football players, always have had.
They had a core of Dublin players, didn't they, on that side? That's right.
And we drew 2 in a row and they won 2 in a row, which was 4 points. Which made put them 1 point behind us. And then in the penultimate game, we went to Seaview and we had to win. And it was 0-0. And in the 82nd minute, here's detail for you. In the 82nd minute, Danny Shipp chopped in from the left and was blatantly fouled. The score at 0-0, and it would have been a penalty. Well, it should have been a penalty, but the ref didn't give it. And that annoyed me. It really annoyed me that there was no fair play.
Who was the ref? I can't remember. Who was the ref that day?
It was a Belfast ref.
I can't remember. But you remember that clearly anyway, Kenny?
I remembered that bit. And I think we were coming home and we got the bad news about the thing that happened in Omagh.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was a different game. We were playing Crusaders on the day of the Omagh Browning, but it might have been another one. But you know, they fair play to them, they spliced the money. Your man has no contact. He was friendly with Harry Corry. You know, the furniture guy.
Because they sponsored them for a while, but that's probably, you know, and it's that came close that time, and Oran has come close on a number of occasions as well, hasn't he? Does he ever talk about it? Does he ask for advice, or does he just do his own thing, Kenny, and not seek advice from you?
Oran's his own man, and he would never ask me for advice. We would talk about football, but he's well grounded and he knows the game, and he's great with people. You know, there's a good dynamic in that Corian team, and you know, I would say Corian's wage bill is maybe 6th or 7th in the table. I don't know if I'm right there, by the way, but I'm sure. I know Crusaders is very big, Glentoran's is very big, Linfield's is very big.
Glentoran and Larne.
And Larne's is very big.
And so Glentoran, yeah.
All of them.
Well, they're going all right. Johnny, what were you going to say there?
Yeah, I've got 2 questions in one, Kenny. The first thing is, obviously, Oran's managed across the water at St Mirren. Do you think that he could be back there? And secondly, I'm only 26, I look about 46, but obviously Dean used to go to all the matches with you when he was younger, and Luca is now the same with Oran. Luca's going to be a good footballer, isn't he? His touches and stuff.
Yeah, he's improving all the time. He just needs a wee bit of strength, which will come. You know, I always say about young players around that age, 11, 12, 13, he's only 10, but, you know, around that age, when they're going from, you know, as a child into a boy, how do they get their success? You know, if he's getting success now because he's strong, then there's less likelihood that he'll be a great footballer. But if he's getting his success now because of his ability with the ball, then he's got a good chance. Because the more beneficial years are 14, 15, 16, 17, when he's putting some meat to the bones, you know? No, he's a really good potential in that, yeah.
He loves it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But as Johnny said, I remember, I'm old enough to remember when you were managing Corey and Kenny, and Dean would have done the exact same as Luca, been kicking into the goals before the game and everything. And it's just like, time has just stood still. It's just, and even looks like Dean did.
He looks a bit like him, yeah.
He really, really does. I don't know who's the better player, but I won't go in that debate. So, but I mean, apart from, I mean, Aaron, you were saying about Kenny's time at Derry City as well, because I mean, he's managed both sides. Kenny, you've managed both sides, and his time at Derry, Aaron, was good too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I suppose we've talked a lot about the highs. You know, the high point in your career that you're experiencing at the minute, and I know that you had two great years or three great years maybe there at Derry with European football, and you won the EA Sports Cup. But
yeah.
But the big thing for me, I remember being at university at the time, was the death of the late Ryan McBride. And I remember watching the news and reading various news articles at that very sad time. And it must have been quite a low point in your career. It must have been hard getting the players back from that.
It was. And it was one of the tragedies that I had, and it seemed to follow me about. But that was a hard time for us, it really was. And it's terrible of me to say this, but it affected us as a team. I should be thinking more about Ryan and his family, but it affected us as a team in terms of the qualities that he brought to the team. Do you know what I'm saying? So I shouldn't be talking from a football term, but we missed him badly. We won our last four matches in the league at the end of my first year, and we won our first four matches back, and Ryan scored in the fourth game from a set piece to beat Dundalk, and they never played again. And you know, we were zoomed in to go and won that league. We were really it didn't happen, obviously, but because when we started back playing after Ryan's death, we didn't win for I think it was six games. You know, there was still a lull there, and that was a hard.
I suppose hard. You know, to lose the captain of any team would be difficult. And I remember at the time, you know, everyone talked about him being, you know, a Derry lad through and through. And I suppose it was, you know, testament to him to go on and lead his hometown club wear the armband.
Definitely. It was hard to take that, yeah. And you know, we never really got back to that level. We got into Europe 2 years in a row, but it was really tough in the last 4 months of my third year. You know, we lost six games out of nine or something. It was really, really poor going into the end of that third season. But I've got good memories from Derry City, and I felt as if we achieved a lot.
Because I was just looking there. I mean, Kenny, you've had success nearly everywhere you've been, clubs, etc. I mean, can you say, is there a time or a club that you were happiest at, or you've particularly good memories of? I mean, you've had Coey and Kilmarnock, Derry, other clubs.
Yeah.
What's your best memories?
Well, I think when we were in the zone at Coey was my, because I followed them as a child. I supported Coey as a child, and my father was a mad supporter. of Cole Ryan. And I had empathy with Cole Ryan before I got the job. Remember, I turned it down when I was at Carrick, and then come back to me. And I had a really good chairman at Cole Ryan, Hugh Wade.
That's right. And
Wally Hart. But on reflection, it was great. At Carrick, we did really well. We had a, you know, I took over a team that was had 4 points in February.
Jesus, 4 points in February?
Yeah, they'd won, lost all their games, bar four draws. And then the next year, we were in the top half and we won. There was no relegation. We were in the top half the following season. 16-team league.
That's hard to believe, Johnny. 4 points.
I know. Kenny, talk us through the Kilmarnock days. Obviously, you won at Ibrox, you won at Parkhead, you won the League Cup. That, for a team like Kilmarnock, that must have been a big achievement for you.
Yeah, it was great. We beat Celtic in 2012. We won the League Cup, beating Celtic in the final. Only team to beat Celtic in the final at Hampden. Ian Muir said to me, Kenny, good luck the week of the League Cup. He says, good luck, but you don't beat Celtic at Hampden. And you don't beat the Old Firm at Hampden. And when I went through the annals to look, he was bloody right. Celtic, no. But Celtic were beaten in 1971 by Partick Thistle 4-1 in the final. Really? And I went back to him with that. Ah, but that was a freak. But he was right. And I said this to the players and as a form of motivation. But to beat them, and then in October of that year, 5 months later, or 6 or 7 months later, we went to Parkhead, and Kilmarnock's record against Celtic was the worst in Scottish football at the top level. 57 years from they had won in Glasgow against Celtic. 57 years, and we beat them 2-0. So to win there twice in Glasgow in the same year, and then we beat Rangers at Ibrox and beat Rangers at home, did a double over them. We were
That's flat. Crazy.
You know, that record stood because Kilmarnock had a very low budget. And those times were really, really good. Really good. And I have to say, we broke a lot of records there. And we won away to Celtic, away to Rangers, away to Aberdeen, away to Hearts, the four biggest clubs in Scotland. And we didn't concede a goal. 3-1 nils and a 2-0. It's amazing.
Do you see much difference between Scottish football and Irish League football? Is there a big gap in your opinion, or is it not as big as people think? Or what's your opinion?
It's not as big as people think is a fair assessment. I think if you measure up, like Cole Ryan could have beaten Motherwell, as you've seen. And Glen Torne, likewise, I think. So I think the fact, you see, when Europe is in July and August and September, there's very little between them. But the gap widens as you go into the professionalism. You know, in January, February, March, April, then there's a bigger difference then than there is when there's been a pre-season. I brought Kilmarnock over to play Cole Ryan in the pre-season. And it was 2-0, but it was an even game. It was good for both teams. So I have to say it's fairly, there's not much in terms of quality, but I think with Cole Ryan, not Cole Ryan, with the Irish League bringing in the full-time, partially full-time, I think it'll close that gap maybe a little bit. But population-wise, if you've ever thought of this, if you take Celtic and Rangers out of Scottish football, and that could happen quite easily, the rest of Scotland, compared with Northern Ireland, I think it would weaken the Scottish Premier League. I think that goes without saying.
And we mentioned last week about an All-Ireland League as well. Obviously, you managed Carrick, Ballymena, but you've also managed the Derry City. What's your thoughts on the league combining? Do you ever see it happening in the next 5 years, 10 years, wherever it may be?
It's difficult, Johnny. It's difficult because where's the governance going to come from? You know, is the Belfast governance going to give up their governance to have it been administrated from Dublin, or the other way about? I just don't know how they get around that one. An All-Ireland League full-time professional would appeal to me. But I think when the novelty would wear off, the expenses would be much more. But if they had the right sponsorship, you know, you would need 5 million pumped into it, I would have thought. Maybe much more. 5 million is not a lot of money nowadays.
It's not a lot of money. Aren't you? I mean, we've had this conversation on the podcast before and what Kenny's saying. Do you see Corinne being able to go down that line eventually of a full-time setup, given what Kenny's saying and the money involved?
I would think that, you know, if it came to it, it would probably have to be something the club would have to explore. But all the financial, you know, foundations would have to be there. There's a lot of avenues that is beyond my intelligence to explore, you know. But one thing I would say is Corian would probably deserve to be up there with, you know, the likes of the Shamrock Rovers and Dogs, all the rest, just in terms of the size of club and support that they have, you know.
And history and successes, yeah.
And you look back to the competitions, like the Satanta Cup a few years ago, we went to Talbot Stadium, Shamrock Rovers, Dundalk, you know, they've played in the big occasions and been successful. So, you know, personally, from my point of view, it would be something that I think would be good to see eventually. But I think, as Kenny rightly said there, it's probably a long way off, and there's a lot of things that would need, you know, straightened out before you would even consider it. I think the Irish League's a great product at the minute. You know, you just have to look at the games and the nature of the games that have taken place this season, and it just seems to me a little bit that maybe the League of Ireland's could be faltering a little bit, and that they're maybe coming, looking to the NIFL clubs to maybe pull them out of a hole, maybe not, but as I say, it could be something that you may see in the future, but time will tell.
Mm-hmm. It is a hard one. It's a lot of hard decisions. Johnny, what were you going to say?
Hi, just Kelly, talking about your son Dean's career, I read there recently he only won 14 international caps for Northern Ireland. Do you think it should have been more? Could have been more?
Dean, and it's difficult for me to say this, Steve Davis has been the best footballer that we have produced, but Dean was the most talented footballer that we produced in Northern Ireland. And he could do things with the ball and still can that nobody else could ever dream of. If you ask any of the players that's played with him, they'll tell you the same. But he just hadn't that physique in terms of raw strength, if you know what I mean. Dean's very lightly made up, but he was the most talented player that I've seen in terms of natural ability. And he had a great eye for goal. He was a great goal scorer. But he just lack that strength more than anything. I think nowadays they can make, they've more understanding of nutrition and what to eat. But he was at Arsenal, so he should know all that. But I just think that he should have had more caps.
He still had a heck of a career too, though, didn't he?
Yeah,
you know, I mean, like, you can't argue.
He only had one eye, as you know, and what he's achieved in football with that handicap is, you should try it sometime, closing an eye, and it's
make life a lot different.
So I think he's been unfortunate.
And of course now he's dipped his toe in management. So I mean that's he doesn't shirk away from a challenge.
It's been
difficult for him, but I'm just looking there, Kenny. I see they're home to Dungannon, they're away to Carrick on Friday evening. I mean, opportunity there to get things up and running, perhaps from Dean's point of view. Do you think?
There's a possibility. Yes, there's a possibility. His team went to Portadown last night, and they had no team out. He's in a while. He needs to get some experience and. And he hasn't got a window yet.
Mm-hmm.
No, and he needs to get more the right type of player. And
I guess he'd be looking, and I guess the fact that there's no relegation gives him a bit of leeway and gives him time to sort players out for the summer. And he's going to have a big, big, busy summer in terms of maybe bringing players in and letting players go down at Stangmore Park.
Yeah. He's no forwards at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been very difficult for him, but he's done well, I think. Looking at their style of play has been very good. So that's the first thing that he has to get right.
And Kenny Lucker was quick to tell us that Rory Patterson's the first ever player to be managed by you. He's the young man misses nothing. Hey, he came up to us one day and said, my granddad managed him and now Dean managed him. So there you go.
he's some boy, isn't he?
He is some boy.
He's a good reporter too.
He's done that. I bought him a wee book for reporting, and he says, "No, I can't use that until we lose, because they knew the Corian won 7 or 8 in a row."
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he was using that doing his report in this book, and it was bedraggled, and it was all ready to fall apart, but he wouldn't change it because he was.
It's got the football and superstitions. Did you have any superstitions when you were involved in the game?
And not at 10 years of age, I hadn't.
Nah, I know.
He's
10 going on 30.
I know. No, I had loads of superstitions, but I don't know about that. Can't remember.
you forgot them all now.
I know.
Aaron, do you have any superstitions when you're going? Like, because I have to admit, when I'm going to games, if I am wearing a coat and Corian are winning, I have to keep wearing the same coat. And if I don't wear it, I get a bad feeling. Do you have any, like, Aaron, any superstitions?
Not off the top of my head, Damien. I can think.
No lucky pants, no.
I'll tell you one thing you could do with remembering your phone and your glasses more often. Keep remembering your coat, do you know what I mean?
That happened once. That was a bad day. That was a bad day all around, but we're not going to that. So we did lose that day as well. So that was way cliffable. Just casting a glance at the weekend's fixtures, guys. Anything stand out for you? I mean, obviously, Corey and Glenn's we talked about on Friday night. Any other games that stand out? Johnny, Aaron, Kenny, anything strikes you there?
Yeah, Larne nil, Ballymena 2.
Or Linfield nil.
Linfield nil, Ballymena 2, you beg your
pardon. Right, we'll go with that. What about Portadown, Cliftonville?
I would take Cliftonville 3-0.
Oh, yes, I like. Well, Larne, Warren Point.
I would take...
Got to be Larne, hasn't it?
Warren Point's dipped, haven't they?
Although they were dowdy enough. Corian were away last Saturday, and I think Johnny and Aaron, we were there, and you would agree that it was... it wasn't comfortable, was it?
No, every single time we played Warren Point this year, it's been two. All three games have been 2-1, so
that's hard.
They're a hard team to beat. Hard team to beat.
They are.
But you would
fancy Larne to win that, wouldn't you?
I don't think Larne is going to get into Europe.
No. What do you think if Larne didn't get into Europe? How big a blow would that be, Kenny? Because obviously. They've got big back and they're full time. They've got professional players. If a club like Larne didn't get into Europe, how big a blow would that be? Or could they live with that because of their backers?
Yeah, I think he would give them a wee bit more time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is their second year up.
Yeah.
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 It is. It is. Mm. Right. And we'll go Dungannon have to win on Friday night. We'll go with Dean there, guys, will we?
I think Dungannon will beat Tarrick 2-1.
Would you agree, Aaron? Tarrick could be funny enough too. They didn't have a good result, I think, at the weekend. So Aaron, would you think Dean will do the business there?
Tough one to call. Carrick they've shown their mettle against us at times this season as well, but I'll not do Dean a disfavour, so I'll go for a draw. I'll sit in the fence here. How'd that do?
You can't do Dean down when he's done sitting there. are you mad? Okay. Johnny, come on, you're gonna say Dean's gonna get a win, aren't you?
Kenny's about to stare at me here, so I'm scared. Do you know what? I'm going to sit in the fence as well and go for a draw.
Fair enough.
They're a weird team.
They are
so unpredictable. Like, I say this about nearly every team, but they really are unpredictable. They've lost. They drew with Crusaders there recently, and then lost to Portadown.
They took some beatings there recently, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And then they obviously got a good win against. They beat Portadown 5-3. So.
I just
think as we've spoken about earlier, Dungannon, Kent, or Dean's just playing a few young players, having a look at everyone, seeing where they're on. I've mentioned a couple of fullbacks they have now two or three times in the podcast. Dean's going to ring me up and tell me off because I'm.
I think you're trying to sign them for Corian.
Brilliant wee boy Glennie and is it Ethan McGee and Convey as well? There's three of them there, good players. So.
If only the two managers knew each other, then that would be quite something.
There might be a few negotiations, Kenny. You can be in the middle of it there, so you can be the broker.
Dinner at Kenny's house on Sunday, you get all sorted out.
What does Oran need? What would you say Coleraine needed?
Well, I think we sort of hinted at it earlier, like you mentioned the goals for Colm, Linfield, the advantage they have over Corian. I mean, looking at it, I would say that's maybe an area where it could be strengthened. What do you think? You're more experienced than I am.
I think it's not so much. Sometimes you're not scoring goals because you have the creativity.
Yeah, you haven't got the service. It's hard, like as we said before, defensively they're very sound. I think the back five, Corian's back five is arguably the best in that league, isn't it?
Yeah. I think the boy from Oma has improved immensely. I don't know, I haven't seen the last couple of games, but he's improved, has he?
Jimmy Blackham.
Aye.
A lot of assists.
Yeah, he's done well. To be honest,
it's hard. Excuse me, it's hard. We talked about it earlier in the show as well. It all comes down again to budget and money, doesn't it, Kenny? And that's the difference, you know. Like Corian were up at Glentoran last night, and Glentoran team packed full of talented players, professional full time players, and therein lies the difference. And Oran, I think we said before, Oran and the players in the squad deserve enormous credit. For being in the position that they are, given the resources that are available to them.
Have you got a chicken there somewhere?
Not me. Who's got the chicken?
What's that noise?
Aaron.
Noise.
I don't know. Must be Corey. But right, last game of the weekend, we'll give it a blast. Crusaders home to Glenavon. Anybody want to give us an opinion on that one?
Draw. Go heads or tails with that one.
I'll go with draw too. We'll go with draw. Kenny, Crusaders, your old nemesis from back in the day, they've fallen away badly, haven't they?
They have, and I don't see much heart about, you know, the passion. And what's happened to the big guy, Jordan?
Seems to be injured.
I think he picked up an injury. Yeah.
Yeah, he's dipped considerably. I thought there's a disharmony there. I don't know. I don't see them getting into Europe, to be honest.
which would be a blow to them as well, because they're three quarter
they need it.
Professional. Now they do need it, yeah.
They need it.
Yeah, there could be changes. If they don't make it, then there could be changes up at Seaview. Aaron, I mean, Crusaders, we've seen them a couple of times this season. They don't really look to be the team that they were, do they?
No, certainly not the team that they were winning leagues with, you know, a few years ago. And I think when you listen back to the podcast last week, obviously I wasn't on it, but Stephen Looney made a point about, you know, how they're sort of relying on their aging players, you know, the likes of Paul Heatley, Jordan Owens, and maybe, you know, the style of football Crusaders played, and as much as it was successful, maybe, you know, teams have sort of twigged on to them a wee bit. But they still have great players there. You know, you've Jamie McGonigal left us to go and join Crusaders. You know, he's a natural goal scorer and we'll get
your mate.
Well, we'll not go there. You know, you can. So that whole friends family debate, that, you know, he'll probably listen back to this. So I'll say too much.
Not,
you know,
not bring him up too much. No, exactly. Yeah. Don't want to be doing that.
You think he looks happy?
It's a hard one, Kenny. You know, only he'll know that himself. I'm sure, you know, if he gets regular game time, and maybe if the Crews were playing the style that suits him, I'm sure he would be happy enough. But I would say being frozen out in the wing is definitely not a position for him. But again, he's proved that he can score goals out on the wing up front wherever he plays, you know.
Would he be a good player to come to Corian, do you think, again?
I would say so. You know, how can he's a goal scorer. You know what you get from Jamie. And the current team that's there at Corian at the minute, I have no doubt that he would definitely maybe bridge that goal tally to Linfield, you know.
Yeah.
And I think Oran and him always had a good relationship as well, Johnny, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They definitely did. It was Oran that gave him off his chance in the football, and I think the boys have always stayed in good terms. And somebody asked me last night if I could have one player back at Corian, or I think one of the board members we were chatting about, and I said Jamie McGonigal. He knows where the net is. It's,
yeah.
And that, you know, the goals for column is probably the only thing that's maybe just lacked a little bit this year, and Jamie just knows where the onion bag is, and that's what wins matches.
Goals win. Yeah. The guy at Ballymena was an expensive signing, the one that they've just signed.
Shane McCarthy.
He's done well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's good there for him.
That's what it takes. It's all about the money, guys. So, well, here, guys, we've come to a close. We've touched on a lot of bases there. We've talked a lot. Kenny, you've been very gracious with your time, because as I said earlier, you've been very, very, very busy. Yeah. I forgot to mention earlier, I think congratulations are in order, not only for last night, but I think you got a new contract to the end of 2023. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I'm sure you're delighted with that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm pleased with that.
Here, guys, thank you very much once again for your time. Johnny and Aaron, as ever, a pleasure hearing from you. You're knowledgeable about the game, and Corian in particular. So thanks for your input again this week. And a very special big thank you to Northern Ireland women's manager, Kenny Shields, former Corian manager himself, who has endured and enjoyed a hectic 24 hours after leading the side, the girls, to their first ever major championships. So thank you, Kenny, for your time. Very grateful of you. Great to hear from you, and also great to hear about your memories of your time at Corian and your thoughts on Dean, your son, and Oran, your son-in-law. So thank you guys for all your help. Thank you guys out there for listening once again. We're always delighted to hear that the podcast is so warmly received. Hopefully it'll brighten up your day as we look ahead to Glentoran on Friday and the run-in of the Danske Bank Premiership. So once again, thanks to everybody. Thanks to Corey McShane for production. And as ever, come on, the Bandsiders.